Glory to you, God, whose power working in us is always doing more than we could ask or even imagine. Amen. You know, I thoroughly enjoy attending a dinner party or going out to dinner with friends. I enjoy the renewal of spirit that I feel when I'm with friends. I love laughing together and sharing what's going on in life over dinner. Yes, being with friends at a dinner party is a wonderful, life-giving time. And Jesus, too, enjoyed the fellowship of his disciples at dinner. I imagine they had stories to tell on each other and that they laughed together. And I imagine there were moments when you saw Jesus change, his voice change, and he would begin to talk seriously about something he wanted to address. And that is what happened at the dinner party in today's gospel. Jesus was apparently at an elegant affair at the house of a leader of the Pharisees. The movers and the shakers of the local community were probably all there, wanting to see and be seen. But Jesus was not in awe of his hosts, wasn't impressed with who had been invited. Apparently, just the opposite. Jesus had something to say about those who were not invited. He wanted the hosts and his guests at the dinner party to leave their self-importance at the door. Jesus wanted to talk about God's inclusive love. Everyone was to be welcomed at the table of the Lord. But why does Jesus say, "Don't invite those who can return a favor or invite you back over for a barbecue, your friends, your brothers or sisters, your relatives or neighbors." Jesus switches it all around by saying, "You will be blessed if you invite those who cannot afford to repay you, the poor, the crippled, the lame, and the blind." I, for one, would like to think that Jesus is saying this in a figurative way and not literally. But I am afraid Jesus meant this literally, because the poor, the crippled, the lame, and the blind are, in fact, the uninvited ones, the rejected ones, the isolated ones in society then and now. We don't need to imagine a poor person. They exist. Yes, they exist more than ever with the economy such as it is. They are not just the homeless ones, but our neighbors who hide their lack of income, don't share that they are on the brink of financial ruin. At one time or another, aren't we all on the brink of something? We don't need to imagine the crippled. They exist. They struggle to move. Maybe the choice between buying pain medications or food contributed to their crippled condition. We don't need to imagine the blind. They exist. You see them with their red and white canes at a traffic light. And we don't need to imagine the lame. They exist. In fact, because of advances in medicine, there are more lame veterans surviving and less dying on the battlefield. The poor, the crippled, the lame, and the blind are real people and not a figure of speech. And so it was that a week ago, a human being, a victim of our economy, walked into our parish office on a Friday afternoon, the last day of vacation Bible school. He was clean and his clothes were clean. He was shaved and his hair was groomed. With him was his mother, small and simple in appearance. Miguel spoke English well. He was an unemployed construction worker. He told us he had tried to get a job by standing outside of Home Depot. He also said he walked into any store that had a help wanted sign, but all with no luck. So for the first time in his 46 years, he and his 76-year-old mother are sleeping at nights in his car. They were born in Colombia, but she is now a citizen of the United States, and Miguel is in the INS process for citizenship, sponsored by his brother. For the first time in his life, Miguel walked into a church office. He was standing before Sarah and I on the verge of tears. You could tell that this was the first time he had come into a church asking for help. He didn't know what to ask for. He was penniless, homeless, and hungry. While I was listening, Sarah went and got her discretionary fund checkbook and wrote him a check. He had dignity, and he was ready to break down and cry, but did not. His voice caught as he thanked Sarah for the check. I asked if he would like to come to my house, and I would pay him to go up into my attic and under the house to find where those possums were getting in. I also needed the tall weeds behind my house removed and other physical odd jobs that needed to get done someday. Would he come? Miguel and his mother came in the beginning of this past week. He spent the day working for me. I went to the bank and got cash. I gave him money to get lunch, because I had a lunch appointment that day with a parishioner. I had his mother sit in the house and put on the TV, but she didn't stay seated for very long, because pretty soon she was outside slowly and deliberately helping put the weeds behind the house in the big trash bags. At the end of the day, I paid Miguel. I asked him to come back on Saturday, yesterday, because I had more odd jobs. But I hesitated in my mind because I knew that yesterday was my sermon writing day. I was appalled at my hesitation. I had hesitated because I didn't want to be disturbed writing my sermon about the poor. But Miguel was my sermon. He was the living person Jesus was talking about. So I told Miguel to come at 9 o'clock yesterday. And after I paid Miguel for last Tuesday's work, he and his mother got back in their broken down car and drove off. I closed the door and went to the kitchen to start dinner and froze in my tracks. I was going to make a dinner and eat it by myself, and I let Miguel and his mother drive off. Oh my God, Jesus, they are who you are talking about. Invite the poor to your table who cannot repay you. How blind I felt. I was humbled. And then I felt even more humbled, as I realized that when I paid Miguel, I noticed how sweaty he was from working in the heat of the attic. I had not offered this homeless man a shower. He was sweaty because the attic had been hot that day as he searched for the possum hole. He said he had found it. He found it where the poop and pee trail led and patched up the hole by the side of the attic. He was dirty from the dust, but I had no thought of offering this homeless man of God a shower. I asked God to forgive me. My blindness stung. When Miguel and his mother came back on Saturday to finish up the odd jobs I had, I felt God was doing a work in me stretching my heart. Because I'd already been praying with the scripture for this sermon, the words from the reading from Hebrews echoed in my heart. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers. So when it was time for lunch, I heated up a hot dish of chicken and rice, set a bowl of Persian pickles on the table, got the placemats and put them out, poured some bubbly water from Trader Joe's, and had the three of us sit down together to eat at my dining room table. And I felt that my table was blessed by their presence. After lunch, I asked if they would like to use the washer and dryer for any dirty clothes they had left in their car. But Miguel's mother had her pride and declined. Miguel finished up in the afternoon, and I gave Miguel money for his work, and they drove off. But while Miguel was working during the day, I pondered what more I could do. So I went online and printed out information and the address for St. Joseph's Center, which has homeless services. And I gave them information about parishes in the area that serve hot meals. These two strangers are victims of our economic downturn, and they have touched my heart. My desire is to jump into fix-it mode, because my sorrow for them is so great. But there are thousands of homeless ones in Los Angeles. Yet these two are real to me. These two poor people walked into my life. One day, years ago, a friend of mine and her family were walking into a Denny's restaurant. A homeless man approached them with his hand asking for money. My friend's husband looked at his bloodshot eyes and said, "Come in and join us for lunch." The family of four became a family of five. So instead of giving him money for booze, he invited him to eat with them, and he did. After lunch, this homeless man walked out of their lives, but they had not missed the opportunity to have a poor one who could not repay them join them for lunch at Denny's. Jesus, when he was on earth, was in fact homeless, unarmed, penniless, and innocent. And he met arrogant people and disarmed them with a radical invitation to invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, and the blind to their table. And Jesus was not using figures of speech. He was talking reality. Miguel is real. This presence of Jesus, this power to go beyond our blind selves, is real. The reading from Hebrews says it. Jesus Christ is the same, yesterday and today and forever. Let us ask for the grace to serve as Jesus did. Anyone and everyone, whether they are friend or family, poor, crippled, lame, or blind, invite them to your table. Invite them to this table, the table of the Lord. Because this table is about God's inclusive love. Welcome others to our table and your table at home. And we will all be blessed by God. Amen.